So jelly.
Jelly, 10.
Yep.
I was like, why did you say 10 after that?
Jelly, 11. Jelly, 12, baby.
Hell yeah.
Episode 308.
Jimmy's really aggro games. Let the games begin. Games,
Bane's favorite episode. Oh,
soccer,
shit.
Football, baseball, hockey.
Tennis. Welcome to Gilmore, guys.
Welcome.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi. I'm losing it. Guys, I'm on a lot of Red Bull right
and
now.
And we're the Gilmore guys.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Demi went to sleep at 5 in the morning.
Yep, and woke up at 7.
Holler.
Yeah, that's 2 hours sleep. You should go home and take a nappy.
Hell no, I'm going to live forever.
Because we record... Oh, whoa. Wait, is this about... you talked about how it'd be funny when you die if you say, I'm going to live forever every day. Wow.
That's not like a joke. I do that all the time.
It's not a joke that you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if it's a joke that's the reason.
What's the context you say that in the most?
I don't know, but like, I just, if I'm doing something funny, if something is happening that is funny and I'm laughing a lot, I have the instinct to, you know, Ask Dan from SNL, Bobby Moynihan's character?
That's the funniest character, yeah.
I just love when he's like, I'm going to live forever, and then it cuts and he dies.
That's my favorite part of that sketch.
That's the funniest thing to me. So I just imagine if my last words are, I'm going to live forever, as I'm like doing something extreme, and then I just get hit by like a stray rock and die, people are going to be like, that was
a
awful.
Stray rock? You think that's how you're going to go out?
In my head, we're like speeding over dunes or something, and I got my head out the window, and like a rock comes flying. Anyway.
Or what if it's like a stray rock, but it's like Dwayne Johnson, but
exactly.
If he was a homeless person.
And he's got his fist kind of extended, stray. And we just, exactly.
Well, let's not get into Vin Diesel slam poetry.
Hey, welcome to our ass.
Welcome to our collective asses. Guys, we've had a wonderful lineup for season 3 so far.
Mm-hmm.
And now that comes to a screeching halt.
That is not true. That is not true.
You wanted the Zooks? Man, you got the Zooks. We gave it to you.
You want the wood? Well, X gonna give it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Let's introduce him.
Yeah, I was wondering that whole time if I could start talking.
Because Gilmore, guys, can I?
Well,
no,
technically, you can't.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah. I ain't talking.
Well, now we got to cut all of this out.
Damn it, Jamie.
We lose all our interesting talk.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's do it. La la.
La la. Special guest.
if you were just passive-aggressively rude to
him. He was on the show a few times before.
Yeah, it's the Friends podcast. He's
what's it called?
Friendly
Fellas podcast. Check it out.
So I'm gonna correct you just because we need all the press we can get. It's called Best of Friends.
That
is Best of All the Friends Buddies podcast. It's Jamie Wood.
Yay!
I'll clap.
Sorry, I messed up my own intro.
No, you didn't.
Woo!
That's great. I love the stray rock bit though.
Stray Rock Obama.
That's no bit. That's how I'm going out.
Stray
I see
Rock
it.
Obama.
Stray Rock Obama.
Now, Jamie, what is your experience with Gilmore? I'm so tired of this.
This is the last episode.
This is the episode where Kevin just breaks down and goes like, guys, I can't do this
this
anymore.
Podcast is going to be on forever. That's the last
episode.
Oh,
it definitely won't be. There is a finite number.
There really are.
Yeah,
we can't do like 155
it's
episodes.
It's very easy to put a number to it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, because you'll only do of your, it is called the Best of Friends podcast. We are kidding. We are excited to have you here, Jamie.
Thanks.
We're doing bits, because imagine if we did that to someone we just met that day.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. They'd be like, this is the worst.
Are you on fun employment? Isn't that hilarious when people add the letter F to the word unemployment?
I can't get enough of that.
When I see it on Twitter, I just pee my pants laughing.
My friends did that all the time when we were unemployed early last year, and it was this kind of thing where like, at first be like, yeah, but then they'd sit and be like, no, stop. We go to the beach every day, and I hate the beach now. Like, don't.
I've always hated the beach.
Yeah,
the
I'm beach not a big beach
fine,
fan.
But when it becomes like, when you're trying to pretend like it's the funnest thing you can do when you're unemployed every day, it's just like, no, it's miserable now.
So how
ruined
many,
water.
How many episodes will there be of the Best of Friends podcast?
Well, we do, we're a half hour show. So, I mean, Friends is a half hour show.
Mm-hmm.
So we do two episodes per podcast.
Two an app. And how many episodes of Friends?
I think there's like 231-ish, okay. 236, somewhere around there. So we got
at least 115.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good times. And I word on the street is that you guys are going to be on there pretty soon.
Well, that's just a
wow.
rumor.
I think that's what the people are saying.
I mean, I'm going to check my schedule. My assistant puts that stuff in there.
Nice, yeah. We'll I mean, if you can't make it, it's not like a big deal.
We'd love to.
Honestly, could I be any more busy?
Oh,
that's
a Friends thing.
My sandwich.
My sandwich.
That's my go-to Friends quote.
That's a really
quote.
Obscure one. I like it, though.
It's my favorite one.
Yeah,
more so than, like, hey, I'm a monkey, or I'm going through, or whatever.
Pivot.
The monkey, for the record, didn't actually say, I'm a monkey.
What?
Didn't speak English.
Oh, is that a common misconception?
Yeah, a lot of people think that he's, like, a verbal character on the show.
A third of the people in this room think he's a verbal character on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
Speaking of shows, let's get into it.
Gilmore Girls. Yeah, let's not trolley this shit up like 304.
Ooh, shots fired.
No.
He's gonna choose like one episode to listen to. Just go, oh, okay.
Like, wow, they talk shit.
And you know what? He
week.
Needs to know because he got so much. Girls are in love with trolley.
They are.
Now, Jamie, we talked about
yeah,
the last
it's not
time.
Fair.
Oh my, you know what? Trolley is the Jess of this podcast.
I never get tweets.
And you're the dean. Just kidding.
No,
you're
I'm the Logan.
You are kind of the Logan.
I am the Logan.
Now,
once you guys get there and everyone knows who that is, it'll be
well. We
impressive.
Need to clear something up before we get to the business of Gilmore Girls, which we will get to. We're not gonna make this go on forever.
We're already at 5 hours. It's been cut
we
down
talked
to
about
we
a
talk
potential
about
podcast pilot project
yeah,
with you called hashtag Date Me Jamie.
Got some feedback for it,
but what is the status right now?
The status is that still needs to be a podcast.
It does still need to be a podcast.
Because
okay.
It's the best idea. But I did actually get some, I haven't been back in a while. It feels like forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, some loyal, you call them gillies, right?
Yeah, we call them gillies.
I just made sure.
I want this to continue. I want Kevin to just be like, shut up.
For aggressive. No reason.
Oh,
he's a wonderful
great.
Guest.
Yeah, I got some wonderful feedback from Gillies, hashtagging why I should date them. So that mm-hmm. was cool. But I still think that's like an amazing idea for a podcast. And it needs to be a reality.
Mm.
A reality podcast.
Reality podcast.
Kind of all podcasts are reality podcasts if you think about it. Except for like Welcome to Night Vale.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Or Serial. That's a work of fiction if I've ever heard
right. Very Home Companion.
So let's... yeah, the classic reality show. Like a talking head confessional with Garrison
yes.
Keillor. Now, when it comes down to it, I didn't come here to make friends or whatever. That wasn't really... That was more broke.
There was
Keillor.
No way I was going to get into that pit.
This episode is episode 308.
Yeah.
Let the games begin.
Oh, man. And then she says it in the episode. Too.
That's what I feel it's like that's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah. So but I love when that happens.
Yeah. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is Lorelai, Rory, Richard, and Emily visit Yale University, but Richard causes trouble by arranging an interview for Rory with the Dean of Admissions.
Kind of a lengthy synopsis.
Yeah. I kind of lengthened it by screwing it up like a dummy.
Oh,
I'm so stupid. I don't deserve to live. Now let's start with a segment we do in every
you're
episode.
Live forever.
Yeah, you're right. I am gonna live forever, like on Fame. That's season two. A little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show.
String
whatever
them together.
You string them together, whatever that your definition may be, and your mileage may vary on that.
Nice.
Of what is a pop culture reference?
Does every time they say Yale count as a pop culture reference?
Yeah, this
Yale.
This
Yale,
is
Yale.
12 Harvard. Minutes long.
Great.
Yes.
This is Pop Goes to Culture, episode 308. Let the games begin.
Ari Fleischer?
Like the Beatles, but with better table manners.
Do you remember that girl butterfly who lived in a tree for a year?
That no one, including the amazing Kreskin, could have predicted.
Dickens must have dropped a pencil here at some point.
Not Dyer. Right now, it's your money for nothing and your chicks for free.
Lorelai.
What rhymes with Nantucket?
You might find yourself in a Frank Lloyd Wright situation.
What can we do in a bathroom?
Meet George Michael.
I can't believe the only name that popped into my head when he asked for my role model was Gloria Estefan.
That you were the Helena Bonham Carter of the society set?
Oh, the Tiki Walk.
The Kierkegaard.
Very romantic.
Says the man who yelled finally at the end of Love Story.
Any evidence of alcohol, cigarette smoke, or anything else that Nancy Reagan would find unacceptable?
We need a couple of donuts and some of those extra legs Heather Mills is sending over to Croatia.
And don't be fooled by the Oprah seal on the cover.
Coffee and Ovaltine.
Well, I'm no Perry Como.
It's Gilmore Road rules. Well, lucky it wasn't snowing. It would have been the Donner Party all over again, but with slightly better hair.
And then he'd talk about the paintings he had seen in Paris and the colors of Titian.
There's going to be a little reunion of the Whiffenpoofs.
Romeo and Juliet had warring families, and they still managed to do a little damage, you know?
I'm Jess. I've read a book before.
Oh, gosh.
I've read the same two books.
Now,
he only reads two books.
Yeah.
Just Catcher in the Rye, The Fountainhead, and Romeo and Juliet.
He definitely,
it's basically
he
like
saw
a library of a douchebag.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just reads all the books that you have to read if you want to be like Jess, basically.
That'd be a good
over
podcast.
Here are the Bukowski books I haven't opened.
Library of a Douchebag.
Welcome to Library of a Douchebag.
Today, we will be talking about Fight Club.
Yes. Just all the Palahniuk. Is that how you pronounce it?
Palahniuk?
Palahniuk. That's what I said. I don't know.
Platonic.
Someone will correct you no matter what you say. So
true. Matter. Now, one reference I was familiar
Palahniuk,
with.
Palahniuk, that is it.
Okay. One reference important. I was familiar with.
Kevin Costner was also in.
Oh, God.
sorry. Continue.
The Whiffenpoofs reference.
Yeah, I was interested.
Wait,
that
that's
you,
a reference?
You included that.
The
as
singing
a pop
group.
Culture reference.
Well, maybe. Oh. Well, I have a certain. Because you know it too, because you're a huge West Wing fan.
Yeah.
But the Whiffenpoofs. Was it's in real life. It really does exist. Mm-hmm. I sound like a crazy man trying to talk about aliens.
It's real.
It's in real life. But it's an actual singing group based at Yale University.
And Yale really exists too, right?
Yale's fictional.
I don't think
Whiff and Poofs are real. Yale's fictional. But they were on an episode of The West Wing in season 4.
Yeah,
they're on the Christmas episode.
That's great.
Oh, Holy Night.
Big
that
fan.
Was the name of the app.
Well, the more you know.
West Wingman coming soon.
Coming soon to a iPod near you. Not an iPod, iPhone.
Yeah.
It's weird that podcasting is named after a technology that's
defunct.
Yeah,
why isn't it phonecast? I never thought of that.
A phonecast?
Phonecasting.
Because it's
well,
too clunky sounding.
Well, is the iPod
sounding.
Where pod came from?
Yeah.
I feel like...
Yeah, no, podcast, I'm pretty sure. Correct me if
I mean,
I'm wrong, Twitter.
You're
I'm
probably
sure,
right,
yeah.
But in my head...
I never thought about it. I don't know what the pod part means.
Yeah, like, I
it
feel like...
It would have to be iPod.
No, but I'm saying, like, when the iPod was released, where did that pod come from?
Oh, the mind of Steve Jobs, R.I.P. That's
right?
Where it came from.
I guess
yeah,
so.
That's strange. I never even thought about that.
So let's talk about Let the Games Begin.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, yeah. I enjoyed this episode quite a bit.
I did, too.
Pretty good, yeah.
307, I think... If memory serves me correctly, because I am rewatching it, I'm about two at a time along with Demi.
Yeah,
but I think it starts like a nice, real quality streak in the
because
isn't season
307 the previous episode
dance
was
off.
The dance off
dance-a-thon. Yeah, yeah. And it's not really a dance off; it's a dance-a-thon. Yeah.
By the way, I really liked how it continues almost like an hour later from where.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
I like that.
Like they
yeah.
literally just went home, changed, and went back to the town square.
Yeah, yeah.
They're taking down the sign. Yeah.
I love when shows do that. Yeah.
And obviously, it had to happen because like there's some major things that happened in the last episode. They have to continue, but mm-hmm. I love that it wasn't like, oh yeah, everything's fine. Their feet don't hurt or anything. It was here are the real things that happened because of a dance marathon. Mm-hmm. And also, here's another story.
Yeah.
I thought it was very refreshing to see something like that in this show, because I feel like they never do, like, exact...
Continuity?
Yeah. It's always like, it's either the end of the night and a new day, or it's the middle of the day and still a new day.
Right, and
day.
It takes a bit to kind
and
of get back into
sometimes
the
sometimes they
continuity.
Skip, like, weeks or months.
Yeah.
Like, without saying
any
anything.
Without any
yeah,
chiron
yeah.
like, oh, BT Dubs, yeah.
And they're just like, now Rory's a senior. And you're just like, wait, what?
And there's that first scene where they go into Luke's diner, limping little by little into it. There is a, at one point, there is a really weird camera wobble. Did you guys notice this?
I think I noticed that. Yeah, when they're like, sitting at the table and
they're sitting at the table.
And what's-his-face is talking to him.
And it seems like the camera's going a little bit crazy, as if
like someone like tripped over the tripod or something.
But you did more takes, guys.
Yeah.
Come on,
I thought it was weird, too, all the very... thinly veiled like euphemism talk with the trophy.
Like, oh, that it was a dick?
Yeah, like, they almost went too far to where it was just like, dude, we get it. Like, it was like...
It's more
like
of a weapon than a trophy.
My trophy's huge. It's so long. Most people can't hold it. Like, it was like, it seemed like they went, like, one or two beats too far to where you're just like, dude, someone shut this guy up about his dick trophy.
My trophy is syphilis. Shut him up about his
dick
trophy.
I just want Rory to have been like... Kirk, are you talking about your penis? Yes, yeah. I am talking about my penis.
Yeah, she can quote Kierkegaard, but she can't pick out like a
Kierkegaard?
Kierkegaard.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I'm not
Austin answered.
Yeah, but she can't make out that he's talking about not
about
a trophy.
The D. She should know. And this is, of course.
Should she?
I mean, she has a child.
True.
So I would believe. She would.
I guess.
Maybe.
That checks out.
Let's break it down, though. Let's talk about
this is a segment we call Did Lorelai Do It?
Okay.
But like,
I'm Kevin.
Really?
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Jamie.
Now, do you guys think, like, between us guys?
Yeah.
This is guy talk.
Yeah, this is just bro talk. Like, did Lorelai, like, do it with Chris?
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say she did.
She definitely did.
Dude, I think she did it, too. Yeah.
I think she did the sex.
Because I think when I was a kid, I didn't know about that.
Right.
But watching again as an adult, I'm like, oh, yeah, she definitely did that.
I'm just watching this for the first time, and honestly, there's no doubt in my mind that she definitely did it.
It's like they don't even need to show it in a way that's, like, kind of hotter.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's all up to you. Yeah, it's like, keeps you guessing. It's mystery. Yeah. It's your imagination.
It's like when you see a wall, and you're like, oh, man, there could be a woman behind that.
Yeah. It's like every time I see a wall, I'm just like, oh, boy.
Walking around with wall boners.
Oh, yeah. WB's all the way. Hey, they shot the WB.
Yeah, they
did. I got
did.
A WB. All right, this has been Did Lorelai Do It?
Yeah. All right, back to the other show that we do.
Yeah, Gilmore something.
Mm-hmm.
Luke is way too jazzed about Jess and Rory being together.
Yes,
in fact,
yes.
I believe we have a clip.
Wow.
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 Wow. Wow.
It sounds
the
like
kids are together.
The distortion of it playing up straight off the speaker of your phone, it sounds like he's a jaguar. Play it again.
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Oh, God. Wow. It sounds like the sound effect they use in Anchorman when it's like Sex Panther. Wow.
Yeah, or like when you keep rewinding and replaying the part on Aladdin where the tiger growls.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like Take Off Your Clothes or something. Like,
exactly. Oh, Christian girls take off their clothes or something.
Yeah, it sounded
like that.
the same thing. It's like, wow, wow, wow.
Too jazzed about it. She's a good kid. She'll rub off on him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that I was like, another one.
Watch
and
out.
By the end of the episode, he's made like a, not even by the end, by the time she comes into the diner the next time, he's like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like you two together. Like,
that's what I thought was weird was that like he did both extremes. Yeah. Like as soon as they were together, he was like, oh, this is amazing. And then like an hour later, when they try to be alone, he's
remembers,
like, what's going on?
He remembers that sex exists.
Yeah.
I think is what occurred.
Oh,
that's
story,
great.
Unfortunately.
People who date, they just talk to each other, right? And then he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, plus he's like, he's so unrealistic about it. Like, they literally go upstairs and he thinks 30 seconds later they're going to be like actually having sex or something. When it's like, they like just started dating. They're teenagers.
Yeah, it like, takes a bit any, to get yeah, going.
If anything, they might be making out. But he walked in like, he's like, get out of each other. What are you doing in
get
here?
Get out of each other.
I just like, love that he runs upstairs and is like, I got the burger. You want the burger? And I brought fries.
Yeah, it's been like a minute and a half tops. And he's sorry, like, well, they're clearly fucking up there.
Oh.
Wow.
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 Wow. Wow.
Joe Do It is my family.
And then we get into the salad situation at Emily's.
Yeah.
The walnuts. Was it walnuts in the salad?
Mm, yeah.
Something like that. Which I guess is part of our segment called Where You Feed, I Will Swallow.
Is that an actual segment?
Yeah. We talk about all the food in the show. Lorelai and Rory drink coffee and Ovaltine at the end of the ep.
Luke makes a burger.
And fries.
They get tacos from New Haven that are supposed to be really good.
Yeah, the best in the West. East.
Yeah, and then they eat a weird fish, right? At some point.
They eat a weird fish.
Wait,
just
what was
out
the fish?
Of the stream.
They get a fish at some point with a funny name, whose name I'm forgetting. I know halibut, girl. I don't know what it is.
Do they get the fish for the halibut?
Oh, shit.
And that's been Where You Feed, I Will Swallow. We need music for that.
Yeah.
It should just be like the song, but we replace the where you feed. It's just us going feed.
Okay.
Swallow.
Okay, we'll do that next time.
That works.
Where you feed, I will swallow.
They also talk about pot roast, I think.
They do talk about pot roast.
Richard
loves the pot roast at Yale.
Rory.
Actually, let's skip ahead.
God. One of my favorite Richard jokes in this episode is such a dad joke when she goes, "Forget it, we're getting European." And she's like, "And to think all this time I've just enjoyed being American." Like,
yeah, it's yeah. The am I right?
It's kind of rough. Yeah. That scene with the salads though got me wondering if the is the Frank Lloyd Wright story like
no.
an act? Yeah, I didn't think so. Right.
First of all, I'm pretty sure Frank
I would
Lloyd
know
Wright
that.
Is still alive.
You think it's Frank Lloyd Wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought he was. I thought
to
he
be
passed
frank,
away.
I think it's Lloyd Wrong.
I'm not looking for Mr. Frank Lloyd Wright. I'm looking for Mr. Frank Lloyd right now.
Oh, shit. Hashtag date me, Jamie.
Yeah.
There's one line in this scene that I could not make heads or tails of. Lorelai says...
I think it's going to be the one that I was thinking of.
Okay, take a look at the coffee pot before I clean it. That's New Haven. What does that mean?
It's just gross and
like
muddy.
Dirty,
yeah.
Yeah,
but it's like...
Dirty.
It's Yale. Like, it's not gross and dirty.
Yeah, so I'm... Like,
I think she's literally just saying to me, it's shit.
It's not a...
Yeah.
It's not a comment on race or anything. It's just that it's dirty and it's shitty.
Wait, you thought it was a comment
it's
on
racial.
Race?
Well, I was really struggling to understand what it meant.
Maybe if she
really...
said it like, look, you take a look at the pot before I clean it, and that's New Haven right there. That's
yeah.
all people, New Haven.
Maybe she's like, you see how this pot's kind of dark, but then I clean it and it's not.
Yeah.
That's New Haven.
That starts hollow.
Cleansing,
too.
Cleansing, ethnic cleansing.
Oh.
Rory.
And then we cut back to Luke's and Kirk comes in with that wonderful line.
I'm shaking like a spastic colon.
I really like that.
I'm shaking like a spastic colon.
I'm so worried about Kirk.
Let's hear it again.
I'm shaking like a spastic colon.
In a real world where Kirk exists, I feel like everyone in town's got to be like, are you okay? And he'll just be like, oh, I'm fine. I'm going to die tomorrow.
There are issues here, there.
Yeah,
very
he is
so.
Not. He's a troubled soul.
But again, like we were talking about this previously, but all of his troubles are played for laughs. In a like if Gilmore yeah. Girls were a drama, he would still be like, I just got diagnosed with cancer, and then just like trip and fall and fart. And everyone's just like, ah!
Let the games begin.
I forgot to play that at the beginning.
Love it.
Sorry.
Let the games begin.
They said the title. That was like an American Sniper where the guy was like, I'm just trying to be the best American sniper I can be.
Or where the drummer says, you know, you've really beat me up during these lessons so much it feels like I have whiplash from all your tutelage.
Or like in the other one where the Oscar winner said and that's why they call it the theory of everything.
Wow.
I think my favorite one was when in that one movie when he was like Selma.
Oh wait, I thought the line was welcome to Selma, bitch.
Welcome to Selma, bitch.
Oh, so good.
That was a funny movie. You know, not a lot of people.
How do you think?
<so much. laughs>
How do you think we're gonna win the imitation game?
Ooh, that was a good one.
Hey,
what's another movie?
I'm still Alice over here.
What's the deal with that bird, man?
What's the deal with that bird, man? So evidently,
she's gone, girl.
Gone, girl.
Gone, girl.
Evidently, someone steals Kirk's trophy every year.
That's so funny.
The only thing he has.
That's true.
Kirk has nothing and no one.
And it's not Luke.
And so every year, he gets a small victory, and some piece of shit in that town is like, oh,
like,
I'm going to take this dude's trophy.
It doesn't help that he brings it around town and lords it in everyone's face. That's probably why it happens.
Yeah, dropping it on people's shoulders.
But it's like, it's not Jess, because it happens every year.
Oh, gosh. Slapping people in the face with it. Yeah, it's not
rubbing
good.
People from behind.
Sorry.
And then, and we didn't talk about in that first scene, but it also continues in this scene as well. The Fitz and Olivia-ness of Jess and Rory's relationship.
Yeah.
Let's do it right now. Hi.
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 Hi. Hi. Hi. Hi. Okay.
Hi. Let me save you some time.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fine. I like when Luke gets pissed.
We're not He's going to funny. Vermont.
Wow.
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 Lorelai.
Wow.
You want some coffee? No, it's so bad. You got a bad walking.
Wow. I carried you spread watch like in my ass.
Spread like 16 capital.
Years.
Welcome to my ass.
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 In his mad dad mode, yeah, Luke busts right in where
they're
about
to. Every episode that we have Jamie, I feel like we all do some sort of impression together. Sorry.
Yeah, impressions are fun.
Mad dad mode.
Yes.
But let's not do an impression of episode 304.
I was about to say, let's try to keep this on track.
Is that Trolley again?
That was.
Yes.
It's the longest so far, and
the worst.
Not great.
No, it's not the worst.
It's just very long.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Let's get to
shots fired.
Let's get to the business. Luke butts in at the exact moment they're about to climax. Oh, kiss. They're about to kiss.
Their lips are about to climax.
There will be no hanging of socks in my house. And I actually, when he's like given just the business, I love him. I think like he feels like he's in his element because he doesn't know how to do nurturing. Be like, hey, it's going to be okay, buddy. He doesn't know how to put the hand on the shoulder. But a way in which he does know how to give love is being like, you're going to have boundaries. Which, by the way, I guess also sex did not exist, or he didn't give a shit when he was dating Shane.
Nope.
With Shane, it was like, yeah, use a rubber, whatever.
Who like for like... more should have been involved in like keeping her away from.
Yeah,
they made out like in the restaurant. You definitely saw it happen.
Because that girl's gotta be foul.
Oh my god!
Damn, that was awesome.
You just went like that girl's gotta be foul.
Hey, what can you say? I'm shameless.
Foul.
She's a bit
foul.
Foul. Foul with power.
Power.
Oh, Frank, yeah. We haven't talked to you in a few episodes.
Let's just say I've been a bit preoccupied.
With what?
Power.
fair enough.
President Frank?
That it is.
Is Hail he president now?
No.
I don't want to give away the spoilers.
No spoilers.
It's just all
listen
going
to the words
to plan.
That drip from my mouth like sweet South Carolina molasses.
Let's just say the House of Cards will come crumbling down pretty soon for you, ooh, Mr. Porter.
That Sesame Street parody, by the way, was
I will
excellent.
Break your spine like I broke the fourth wall.
Jess has that line where he says, would you like me to have you committed or would you like to check yourself in? And I just went,
everything Jess says is awful.
The worst part about it, I think.
He's so bad.
He is. And
he's not as bad as Dean, but he's not good.
I've been going flipping back and forth on Jess. I think one thing that I really hate is whenever he delivers, like whenever he's in an argument with someone and he's kind of like winning or like even just being smart.
Like Charlie Sheen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Winning.
He's hashtag
That's
winning.
That's Charlie Sheen.
The worst part about it is that he just does this smirk of like, look, I know I'm being real funny right now. And it's like, it wasn't that funny. Stop smirking.
Yeah, he just ruined it.
It's the smirk that ruins it.
It's like
it.
Everyone in this town does what you're doing.
You know whose smirk was awesome though? Luke at the end of that scene. He leaves, he looks at Jesse, he's like, I just did a totally visual thing, but just like head nodded, like, yeah, I did all right here.
Yeah.
And then just kind of smiles at him in return. Did you guys catch that in that scene?
I don't particularly remember, but I believe you.
Wait, in the scene where he's saying no,
he's saying,
out?
You're, yeah.
I don't remember that.
It happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I don't know. I guess you guys can kind of tell me what you think since we're at that point now. But how I always felt about Jess was, I really liked him before they started dating, and then I like quickly grew to dislike him after they started dating.
They
which I guess would be like
dating.
Right here, yeah.
So
you liked him before when he was stealing baseballs?
No, I'll take that back. I didn't like him, but I found that like once they started dating, that was when I started to like him less.
Okay.
But that was just my opinion. Either way, I mean, I think he was. I liked him more than Dean just because Dean was just like really two dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's where I stand on those. And then obviously Team Logan, but we're not there yet.
Team Logan all the way.
I don't even know who that is.
And then they're preparing for the trip for Yale. You got to bring a bunch of everything, Rory. You got to bring a bathing suit. She said you got to dress for 30 degree weather or whatever. But then when they're on campus at Yale, they look
pretty.
Yeah,
it was like, it looked like a Burbank.
No, I don't think so. But then while they're packing, this occurs.
Crisp and meaty.
Dirty.
Thank you.
Which was a nice sort of like, look at how close they are. Mm-hmm. And not it wasn't at all cheesy.
Crisp and meaty.
Dirty.
Thank you. But how could it be, if we're talking about D, how could it be crisp? Like, let's break this down.
We're talking about D?
Is it a D?
Do you think it could be something else, or it could just be
a
man?
Well, the dick is definitely, well, it could be, yeah.
It could just be a man who's, like, crispy and meaty.
What was even the full-on context of that sentence?
Oh, they're talking about the tacos.
Right, crisp and meaty.
Which is
I think it's just the meaty, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is just the meaty.
Yeah.
I think if you say anything in meaty, you're going to go, oh, dick.
And then we get to the most enjoyable part of the whole show.
Yes.
For me, the most entertaining, where all the action takes place, is their trip to Yale.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's the best Emily Richard, too.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best for so many reasons, but because you get everything. You get backstory. That is important. Yep. Lenny Lott, that comes back into play later on in future episodes. She's referenced. You get their how they met story by the garbage can.
We're going to meet my girlfriends who are going to drive me back to school.
And you were angry with me.
Because you wouldn't commit to plans for the holidays.
Because I was going to invite you to the house to meet my parents after I proposed.
Which I didn't know because you gave me no indication whatsoever.
Anyway, you had just finished calling me a spineless jellyfish.
And you got very annoyed, reached in your pocket, pulled out a box and said, here.
And you opened the box, showed no emotion, slammed it closed and said, fine.
Yes, I did. So sweet.
That was both, like, even just, so that story is so, like, it's funny, but it was also, for me, I was like, that's actually kind of romantic for those,
yeah,
for them.
Well, and it fit them so well.
That's, I think that's why. Yeah,
because they still have that exact kind of argument over nothing all the time, where it's just a really small thing, and they end up, like, yelling at each other in, like, a romantic
Here.
Way.
Fine. That's the engagement? That's great.
And the Emily's impression of what he would do at the art gallery.
Oh,
the
so
furrow of the brow.
Yeah,
and just like seeing them razz on each other in a real affectionate
imagining
way.
Like
lots of zingers.
Young Richard is like Van Wilder of the art gallery or something, where it's just like, this piece, I don't know, kind of makes me horny. And it's like, oh, Richard.
Now you're the Swede I'm going to bang.
Tell me, are you Swedish?
Because I...
Banging the Swede. Banging
wow.
Swede.
Wow. Wow, Richard. Wow.
My goodness, look at all the posters.
Oh, sorry.
What is that from?
That's from the same app. Context.
My goodness.
When they go to the office barn or whatever.
Yeah.
The...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I look hot.
I look hot.
I look hot.
Whenever things are going well, like we've seen happen in the episode so far, and everyone's getting along, and everyone's listening to Emily and Richard's stories, and...
It never lasts.
It never freaking lasts. You know what the apex of it was for me? And I think also a wonderful little bit of character exposition, too, for Richard, at the same time providing, like, a, and I thought they did it so well. It's not a short clip. I'm going to play it for a little bit. Because this was maybe one of my favorite moments of the episode, if not my favorite.
You know, one day, when your mother was 10 years old, she ran into my office and she said, I'm going to go to Yale, just like you. She actually took my diploma out of my office and put it in her room. She wouldn't give it back to me for about 6 months. This place makes you remember things. Hopefully things you're being graded on.
Best scene, or at least one of my favorite Richard moments ever.
Any sort of like mini monologue he has always like is he's hitting it out of the park.
Edward Herrmann always crushes, and too just like the sadness of it because I feel like he almost starts crying.
Yeah,
while telling it, and then I almost start crying watching it.
But
too.
Also, I think something that's interesting too that he does a lot with those kind of monologues is it's like a comment on the actor and the character where like. You almost can't tell if he's being sincere or not because like once you see the rest of the episode, you kind of like he has a game this whole time and he's kind of working Rory this whole time. So in a scene like that, in that monologue in particular, it like I just found myself like when I was rewatching it, wondering like how much of that is I'm sure it really happened, but how much of that is him just honestly sharing a memory and how much of it is him trying to play Rory in that scene, try to, you know, get her emotionally invested in Yale in some way and get her to like realize how important it is to him.
I think the strength of that
mini monologue is that it works both ways and it works so well.
Oh, yeah, it totally does. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's why, like, he's such a good actor and the character's so good that, like, there's no way of, like, we could discuss if there's no way to know which it is or if it's just one or the other. Like, and that's what, like you said, that's why it's so good. And, like, all his monologues are usually like that. Like, you never really know if it's, like, 100% what you see is what you get.
That's so funny because I did not take it that way even upon rewatching and knowing what's coming at all. Yeah. In the way that it was a manipulation. But now it seems...
Because it kind of seems like a little bit of a lead-in to when... Because then the obvious one is later when he's like, we're here at the Dean of Admissions office. Whoa, like, he's my friend. Yeah. I think he's in. Like, why don't you just go meet him?
Yeah.
And it kind of... It reminded me of that because it... He delivers it with the same sort of, like, super casual, like, oh, I can't, like, this place just makes me remember things like this really poignant story that would have a very strong emotional effect on you.
I think this is the first time in the episode where all three Gilmore Girls are mad at him.
That's true.
This is the first time Powerful stuff. Lorelai, Emily, and Rory are all united and like, No.
Although Emily's a bit more passive about it until they're alone.
I know. Emily has to, she's trying to be a good wife and she's trying to like stand her ground and be on his side, but she's pissed. And she has no poker face at all. When he's like, yeah, go take a meeting. She's like, what the F?
Arms crossed. She's just like, I almost think that it's she's madder just because it's like, I can't believe you're going to start something right now. Not so much that like you lied to me, but it's like, this is... Like, this is an argument now for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty insane. And then Rich, when Lorelai is mad at him, like, okay, we're getting a cab, I'm leaving, and he has that, like, pretty incendiary monologue. One of the high moments of that, which is...
But that, my dear girl, is the way it is.
That, my dear girl, is the way it is.
My fair lady.
Yeah, because what does he say? He's like, you don't know about the education system, you don't know how this works, blah, blah, blah.
I thought he was right about all that, too. Because it is, like, what he did was shitty, like, trying to, like, kind of play all of them. But, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, applying to more than one school or, like, checking out your options and stuff. And that's where I felt like Lorelai was being completely ridiculous or not, like, logical about
that. Right, and that's why I think I love this episode so much is because we found, and I found in, like, earlier episodes this season, that there are conflicts in between Lorelai, Emily, and Richard. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a straw man thing. Usually it's like, here's their point. I guess I kind of see it, whatever.
But
in this, you can like more, Lorelai is kind of wrong. Yeah, what Richard did, the way he did it was awful. Yeah. But his point is still very valid. I think that's when the most interesting conflict happens.
I think that's definitely the case going forward, too. And like, the rest of this season and future seasons is it gets, you start to see in a lot of different ways, you start to see that Lorelai isn't a very reliable narrator to like her own life story. And that was something I found. Yeah, especially from here on, I think you see a lot more cases and some of it's through like flashbacks and things like that. But you see that like, the story that like we as the audience has always been presented and like I get like the audience and Rory in this case, like the story that we've all been given regarding like Lorelai and her parents isn't completely what she makes it out to be. And it isn't completely what she says it is. Right. And so I think like you said, from here on out, you kind of start to see more dimensions to all of the dynamics at play.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say technically 11 years this month. And it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
I feel like there's kind of two... I can't speak to season seven, but at least in what I've seen, there's kind of...
I didn't finish it either.
You haven't finished it?
Yeah, no, I like... When I did this before, I blew through the whole show, and I think I got like five episodes into season seven,
painful,
I stopped.
Yeah. But up until then, one could say, and I don't think this is intentional at all, but maybe it is, and maybe that's part of the brilliance of the show. But one can interpret, and without getting into spoilers, one could interpret that this show, there's kind of two halves to it.
Yeah.
There's act one. There's act one of it, which is like the first 2.5 seasons or whatever. Maybe even everything leading up to Rory getting together with Jess, or
the dance off,
or yeah, where the it dance-a-thon, all turns. Or Rory going to college. You could say that's act one, and that's the premise of the show. That's where they set everything up: mother and daughter relationship, tough time with the grandparents, blah blah blah, da da da. And then Rory's a perfect kid, straight A student, just like the best little angel in the world with a halo and a book, as her mom always says.
Yeah.
But then the second half of that kind of dismantles all these premises in a very interesting, slow burn and very earned sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if we're starting to see kind of like the first bits of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good way to put it too. It's, yeah, it is interesting, but I really love the dismantling of like the reliable narrator, because especially through the first two seasons, it's everything we know about everyone in the show is through Lorelai's lens.
Right.
And as like a typical TV audience, like we accept it. We're just like, oh yeah, like Richard and Emily are kind of shitty. They're like the snooty parents that like abandon their daughter and stuff. And then like the further you go into the show, the more you realize that it's like, oh, everything that we know has all been kind of filtered through someone's bias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you start to see like the cracks in different Lorelai stories and stuff. And you start to see like how everything that she says isn't necessarily the truth, which is really interesting for a TV show, because most shows just go their whole run and everything is kind of static.
Chill Bill.
Yeah.
Volume one and two. This Facebook question
Facebook Q&A
from Janelle Busquet. I think she emailed me how to pronounce her name, and I forgot.
Is it Basquiat?
Whatever. Who cares? Why doesn't Lorelai?
He's back.
I was about to say.
Why doesn't Lorelai want Rory to receive help from her grandparents to get into a good school when just a few episodes ago she was having lunch with that weird family that put in a good word for Rory with the admissions people at Harvard? It really bothered me that she was all for going to some rando's house for awkward trivia and lunch, but gets so mad at Richard for arranging an interview with Rory.
Well, it's not that I think it's just that Richard is trying to circumvent Rory and Lorelai's like predetermined path. Mm-hmm. Like Rory's dream is to go to Harvard, and I feel like say it's like my dream is I want to be a firefighter, and my parents are like, "All right, we're working really hard. You're going to be a firefighter, dude." And it's like I get to a point where I'm about to be a firefighter, and then my grandfather comes along and it's like, "Here, let me take you to the police station." Oh, hey, they have a job opening. I'd be like you know, firefighter is my thing. The fact that you were trying, you're so like patronizing us to go like, look, you don't know what you want. And here, you're going to be a policeman is almost, it's insulting.
Mm-hmm. I actually think it's, I don't think Rory factors into it very much at all. I think what it comes down to is Harvard was and still is Lorelai's dream. And I think she lives very much vicariously through Rory. And I think that's what kind of it becomes a lot clearer through this specific episode, I think, mm-hmm. because at a certain point you can feel her arguing where like she's saying Rory, but it's basically a stand-in for like me or for I, and that was always her thing and she wasn't able to, and she's like, because Rory's wanted to go to Harvard since she was a baby, so obviously Lorelai's been
so
like
funny.
Lorelai's been hoisting that onto her this whole time. Yeah. And now when she sees like the two people who she would like least want to change her daughter's mind, just like her parents, right, trying to change her mind, she gets very, very emotional about it. And I think it's a lot less to do with Rory, because like Richard said, she's going to get the same education at either Harvard or Yale. Like they're the top two schools. It's not going to be like one is definitely better than the other. Right. But I think she just has such a strong emotional attachment to Harvard that she's putting a lot of that on Rory. And she, when she sees herself losing that at all, she just kind of lashes out.
I think you even see that in the line where Lorelai and Emily are arguing outside the admissions mm-hmm. building. And Lorelai says, "It matters what I think and Rory thinks, and the list ends there." Shouldn't the list just be what Rory thinks?
Yeah.
Although Emily raises good points in that argument. Mm-hmm. She's not being unreasonable.
It's strange to me that, like, I feel like I've never gotten the sense that Lorelai had a Harvard dream. And maybe that's just bad interpretation.
Well, I think less than her having a Harvard dream, I think she's always had a Harvard dream for Rory.
For Rory, yeah.
Right.
Because they even talk about that in one of the early, is it The Deer Hunters? Is it 104? Where she talks about, you know, was this, no, I won't ask for the one where she's like, was Harvard your dream or my dream? And she's kind of like reckoning with that a little bit. Not really doing that much reckoning now. She's like, no, Harvard's your dream. That's it.
Yeah. The reckoning is over.
The reckoning.
Wow.
I'm Rory's reckoning. Wait, is that Christopher Walken as Bane?
Wow. I'm Gotham's reckoning.
I can't do a Walken.
Not yet. They go home via cab, which must have been hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said it was like tuition or something.
Gosh. And then they get back to Luke's. Jess has that really cool pop collar on his jean jacket. Super cool looking.
Hi.
Oh, save your time, damn it, Taylor. And Luke is so proud of his dad. He's like his dad mode.
Yeah.
His daddy mode, as I call it.
Ooh.
And sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, gentlemen. And then Lorelai's like, yeah, they're together right now. Bumping uglies or whatever she says.
She's like, you don't think they're out there?
Yeah, but she's real lied about it. She made a joke, and then Luke has this line that it almost sounds like a Taylor line, but he says,
"The things you find amusing astound me sometimes."
Yeah, it does sound
The things
Taylor-ish.
You find amusing astound me sometimes, Luke.
Yeah it's right. Doesn't it sound Taylor-esque?
Yeah. Also interesting that Taylor wasn't in this episode. It seems like he's in most episodes.
Honestly, Taylor appears more than like Michelle.
Yeah,
and
that's
even
what I meant. Yeah.
Suki sometimes.
That is interesting.
And
I never
no
realized
Suki
that.
In this episode.
I know. We
she's not in a lot of episodes.
Yeah, but yeah, it is strange that they leave out
is
a lot
of half
of
them
supporting.
Can someone tell us how many?
You don't have to do that.
Yeah,
Demi's requesting a chart of.
I don't request that. We can also just look it up on IMDb.
No.
Yeah. No, but it was just interesting that they're like. It really is just like the core characters in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
a lot of townies,
and that's all you need. And then we get to the moment.
The moment,
guys. Actually,
in this moment.
Wait, what is the song called that plays? Do we know?
No, but it's so cheesy.
I don't wanna wait.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
For my life
no. I think I have it. I'm gonna find
Dust Creek. It's on NBC concurrently,
and now he's on CSI Cyber.
Jess is leaning against that gas pump.
He's trying to, like, he's contemplating smoking
a cigarette
while leaning against a
wait,
gas
was it,
pump.
Damn it, Jess!
That's what, as soon as I was like freaking out when I saw it.
It was a gas pump?
Yes. He's
I thought it was a phone
on the gas pump.
No,
it's like an old timey one.
Oh my
about
God.
Lighting up at a.
He was like doing, he's like, should I smoke?
Gosh.
Should I not smoke? Literally
by the way,
surrounded
that's
by
not
fumes.
Like. Has he smoked before? No, he smoked in the first episode he shows up. But since then, it's been like...
I feel like he holds cigarettes 10 times more than he actually smokes them.
Definitely. He's got a full pack that he bought 4 years ago.
He's still
just always behind his ear.
And he only throws them away because the moisture on his fingers makes them too wet.
And he literally breaks them down with the oils in his hands.
I think we need to keep in mind, too, and I need to have like grace for Jess in that he is just a child. I need to remember that because I just look at him and Roy and I'm like, what's the appeal? You're both like hot and hard and down for whatever. But other than that.
Yeah. If Jess were older and matched with Lorelai, obviously we'd all be like, no, go away.
Yeah.
You grody old.
But they are,
boy.
They are children. They are just 17 years old.
And Lorelai has probably the most convincing line for Team Jess in this episode, which is, I think Rory's 17. It's probably about time for a Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is really just the thesis of Jess.
Which was, I feel like at that point, it might have just been like, that was probably just a script note that wasn't dialogue.
Yeah.
She's probably like, oh, well, at this point in the show, it's probably time for a Jess. And then they, like, it worked, just went to the show, and she's like, oh, no, fuck, what? No, that was just
time
a note.
For a Jess.
Yeah.
Brilliant, Amy. No.
You guys messed up.
Amy, welcome to the show. We didn't even touch upon the scene while they're packing where Lorelai kind of makes the passive aggressive comment about Jess.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I guess he would like it if you ripped your bracelet off or something.
Oh, yeah.
Something about the bracelet. And then they kind
which
of
I think is a
on
fair
that,
comment. Like,
yeah, harp
very
on that
fair.
Bracelet too much.
I like how she's like, yeah, I didn't expect you to be with Dean forever. Like, I don't expect you to be with Jess forever.
I did like,
bitch,
though,
it's not going to last.
I liked when Rory was like, she's like, you're just always going to remember him as, like, the guy that crashed my car. I was like, that's valid.
Yeah.
You should remember him as the guy that crashed
your car. I mean, if you
want to
make
car.
A mark on your mother's memory,
yeah,
that's going to do it.
If Dean crashed your car, she'd probably, like, no matter how good he was, that's exactly what would happen to him.
Yeah, like, it's fair to not forget that. It's kind of big. It's not like he, like, dropped a pie or something. Like,
you're always going to know him as the guy that ruined the creme brulee.
Yeah. He totaled your only vehicle. And now you don't
that
have
that another
a car.
Boy made for you from scratch with nothing but his bare hands and love.
Oh my God. They don't talk about that often enough about how crazy it is that Dean made a car for this girl.
Probably because Dean's so fucking boring.
Yeah, but also he's
you
so.
You really cracked yourself up with that one.
He's in love with her enough to make her a car. And then he's just like, you know what? I'm kind of sick of you talking about Jess. I'm out of here. But also, I feel like. Even though it is like a big thing of this episode, I feel like they don't touch enough on.
They don't touch enough. I agree.
They don't touch enough, but they don't touch
like
enough.
Shrapnel
on. Like, I feel so. I'm actually undecided on whether or not I like that they didn't touch much on this, or I think it's weird. But last episode, the end of it was such a big thing to have happened to Rory to break up and start a new relationship in the span of literally 10 minutes.
Yeah, they do kind of put all of that on hold to go to Yale.
It feels like they skip forward a few days, even though we know it's literally the next day.
Right, yeah. That's
so
valid.
It's strange, but I feel like it's very mature for a show
for that age range to do, but also I don't know if it's a wrong move. I don't know.
I it was a fine move.
I'm very appreciative of it, if nothing else. But
and then they kiss, and at the gas pump,
he kissed me.
Great song. He has some trouble getting that cigarette back in his pocket. I don't know if you guys noticed when he was like macking on Rory, and he's got his cigarette, and he's just the struggle was apparent in that moment.
They're like, we can't do two takes, Jess. You got to get this in one.
Okay, now here is a question from Twitter.
Yes,
and it's worth talking about.
Twitter Q&A.
So this is from @Lenore312, and this became kind of a debate on Twitter, and I know because we were tagged in all of them.
Lost to Lenore.
Lenore asks, am I the only one that didn't catch the quote-unquote equipment check between Jess and Rory the first time I watched? Is Jess having sex? What she's talking about is in that scene.
Is in the gas pump scene, right?
They kiss, and Jess says, well, at least we know that works.
That's what I thought. That's what he was saying.
Are they talking about his rock hard?
It has to be. Yeah, like he has a hard on.
That's not how I took it, though.
No, I rewatched it this morning because, and then it was even like because right after he says that, that's when she kind of like backs up and she's like, "We have to, like, I have to go, like, we have to stop now." It was like a reaction to that line.
I think it was unintentional. I mean, like, I think that's a way for us to read it, but I think the purpose was to say because they couldn't like figure out kissing and stuff before.
Yeah, it was like the physical component of the relationship. I think it's the intention. But you could take
but
it
But I think he did kind of like look down.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I guess that works.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, when I watched it this morning, I was like, oh, really?
I wish he'd done like a few eyebrow raises.
Wow.
Wow. So I think the intention is not that, but that's the beauty of this show is you can take it both ways.
Just like, never mind.
I'm not familiar with that. We have a few other questions. Actually,
I'm not familiar with sex.
I'm not familiar with bisexuality.
This leads us into the next part. @Jade_Lilies asks, did you guys feel like you were watching Dawson's Creek 2 when Rory climbed to Dean's window? Very Dawson Joey.
Yeah, it wasn't. And especially and when she walked up and the music was playing with Jess, too. That was kind of strange. It was kind of angsty for the show. I thought the whole Dean move was weird in general. Because it's kind of, like, nobody wants that.
You know what it reminds me of? You know what it's a direct parallel of?
Hmm.
Is Lorelai's conversation with Christopher.
Oh,
where she's like, I was hung up on you. I wanted you. And now I'm free of that. Back in season 2. And he's like, what? How dare you? This is awful. Don't say this to
me.
Where it's a conversation where the intent is kindness and the intent is like, hey, you should know that you're great.
But the execution
and the result of which, like, it's more for your own pride and for your own peace of mind than at all for the other person's benefit.
Yeah. Because, nobody needs to hear that. Like, it's one of those things that, like you said, in theory, it's like I dumped this person. I want to say that I'm sorry for hurting them. But, like, that's not going to make things any better, realistically. To have, like, the person who just dumped you come up and be like, I still don't want to be with you, but I want to say sorry.
But you were, like, you were great.
And then when, especially when he said something about Jess, and she was like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, that just means
you could
you're definitely
owe it to
with
him.
Him
to, yeah.
Like, he's going to see you.
Yeah, and she taps on his window. She taps on the window and smiles at him like a lunatic lady.
Well,
that was
and for that
beat
split
of that
second,
scene.
He's probably like, oh my God, she's like, she wants me back.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, she climbed my roof in the middle of the night. Like, of course she wants me back.
She
and then he opens
back.
The window and she's like, still don't want you, but I'm sorry.
Dean's face was kind of weird in this scene, too. It looked like he was trying not to smile. That's what it looked like to me. I don't know. It was an interesting choice.
He's like, oh, I'm finally getting out of here. I don't have to pretend to kiss this girl anymore.
Oh,
I'm going to Supernatural. Pays
I'm
going to
hit the road with my brother Dean. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
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 And so Rory says, I'm going to miss you so much.
But like, are you?
Are you going to miss him?
I've always thought that was weird because I've heard that too. Like after being dumped. It's like, I'm going to miss you. And it's like, you know, you don't have to, right? Like you
that's
did this.
You've heard that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying that doesn't have, because I've heard the same thing where it's like, after you've been broken up with, and I mean, I'm speaking in the third person. I've been in this situation where it's like, after I've been broken up with, and the girl's like, you know, we talk again later, and she's like, I'm really sorry if I hurt you or anything. Like, that wasn't my intention and blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
of course it wasn't.
Yeah. It's like, that's nice, but you're not helping anything. And then this, and then the same when it's like, I just want you to know, like, I really miss you. Like, that's supposed to make it better, but I'm like, you know, you don't have to.
I mean, obviously, I understand the
exactly.
Understand the intention, understand the feeling, even. But it's like, that does nothing. It makes it worse, kind of. It almost puts that inkling in your head, just like, then we can fix this, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like, they miss me. Maybe
but the answer
a chance.
Is no.
Maybe I won't be sad forever.
And then the very last, the very last scene of the episode, Lorelai and Rory at home. Oh, I'll tell you about tomorrow. Details, Ovaltine and coffee. And then they go to their bedrooms. And what do, gentlemen? They read some Yelp brochures.
They do. Did you notice? I don't think this is on purpose, but the music playing over it sounds like the lyrics are Yale, Yale.
Oh, shit. That'd be like the coolest Easter egg ever. Unless it's just like a Yale song.
Wait, did I hear it wrong?
It sounds like Allah.
Play it backwards, maybe.
Yeah, I heard it wrong.
Man, that would have been cool, though.
This has been the worst trivia corner I've ever
And so it makes you think, is the dream still Harvard? Are they still going to go? What are your predictions? Because they're looking at the yellow brochures. Where do you think Rory's going to go to school?
All right, I think she's going to drop out, go into the wild. All right?
Become Reese
Alexander Supertramp. Yeah, no, she's going to have a heroin addiction very briefly. Aww. And then to get over it, she is going to go into the wild.
I thought you haven't seen the show.
What show?
No, this show. You're just saying what happens.
And then just some stray. We got a lot of good questions.
Okay, I saw season 7, all right.
There's a gentleman on our Facebook by the name of Presley Darnell, who's an old friend of mine from Texas. I haven't seen him in a very, very long time.
A lot of old friends coming in.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's like it's a reunion for all of us. But Presley Darnell, he's wonderful. He's a listener and a gilly, and he what?
I just like the word. It's just a gilly. we didn't like come up with a good one, so ours is just friendlings.
Friendlings.
You should just
say that's
friends.
Good.
Yeah.
You should say friends.
Yeah,
but it's not on brand, I guess, is the thing. It's not distinctive.
Well, yeah, you can just be like, oh, yeah, he's one of our friends. And you're like, oh, you know him? He's like, oh, no, he listens to our podcast. Your podcast about? Friends.
Gillies is great.
Presley Darnell, does Kirk's backstory for this episode entail murdering someone with the dance trophy? Or is it more innocent, like hot gluing it to the bottom half of a mannequin wearing roller skates so they can dance and relive the glory?
I would love to supercut a trailer, like one of those fake, like tonally changed trailers with Kirk as a serial killer.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because it'd probably be really easy.
Like a Silence of the Lambsy one where he just does very disgusting things with his trophies.
Yeah.
Because he seems very into them and how big they are.
Yeah. And you could definitely supercut something of like them looking through the photos of him naked and like a gasp or something. It's like, that's my mother.
Okay. So this question from Twitter comes from @ArianaCase. And I don't quite know what she's talking about. Maybe you guys do, and that's why I'm saying it. She says, go back and watch when Dean steps away from the window. I'm almost positive Napoleon Dynamite was based on that moment. Do you guys know what she's talking about?
I have no idea what that means.
I don't know either.
That's a very specific
reference. Does he go, God?
To like one frame.
Yeah, I don't know. I truly don't know.
Jared House is like, hold up. Honey, rewind that. What is that? I just got an idea.
Oh, yeah, because that is the, like, when he steps away from the window, his hair poofs up and he has glasses on.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that transformation does happen all of a sudden.
Just for a frame.
See, now I have the episode open. I'm just going to.
Okay, we're going to watch it.
Okay, I kind of get it. The way he turns around is just so like.
He's kind of like, oh.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, gosh.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Don't know if that movie was based on that, though.
I think it might have been.
They said
somebody always somebody
in the credits
royalties.
It said based on one moment in Gilmore Girls.
Shared an elevator with John Hader once.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He's a very nice Mormon times. Man, right?
I don't know. I just said hello and he said hello. He was cordial.
He said, don't look at me.
Yeah. He was like, I'm fucking Napoleon Dynamite.
Don't told you
look
to speak
at me.
To me.
Yeah.
Don't touch me. Well, guys, I think it's that time of the ep.
Is it that M time?
Let's give it the ratings.
Oh, I thought you were going to say fashion report.
Holler. No, oh, we didn't do a fashion report.
There's sometimes, not much fashion here.
Sometimes the episodes don't call for it.
Everyone looked amazing. How's that for a fashion
report? All right, there it is. Fashion report.
I will say that Dean looked like a boy who finds a spaceship in the woods and gets abducted. I'm talking Mars Needs Mom. Moms.
Yes, Dean was 3D CGI in this episode.
He was. He's just wearing a baseball tee and he looks like a grown kid.
I really, really enjoyed this episode. I think it's a great follow-up to one of the biggest episodes of the show.
Definitely.
Thus far. And there was emotional continuity there, and it was logical. I love the conflict between Richard and the rest of the Gilmore girls, and everything felt earned. I thought Jess and Rory's kiss made me feel all funny inside, especially downtown James Brown.
In your legs.
That's what I'm talking about, my legs. I started dancing when they kissed because I was so happy for him. And overall, the ending's great. One of those classic melancholy la-las from friend of the show, Sam Phillips.
Oh,
Yale, Yale,
Yale, Yale, Harvard, Harvard.
So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 Yale brochures.
Ooh.
Nice.
This episode convinced me that everything's working, if you know what I mean. I can't say a single... What?
Oh, by the way, before we give all of our ratings, do we say yes to the Jess in this episode?
No.
I am going to say no, too.
No, I say no, too. Go ahead.
I will say that, like, I'm no longer adamantly like, why do you guys like Jess? You know, I'm coming around. But for this episode, I'm just not feeling it. Not feeling that Jess charm. I really have almost nothing bad to say about this episode, and I can't even think about anything bad I would say when I say almost. So I am going to give it 9 out of 10 romantic trash cans.
Nice. I mean, you guys both said a lot of good things. I really liked
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And it was a good one. And like I said before, I really like how it starts. This is where we start unraveling the reliable narrator, and we start seeing cracks in the story that we've been presented.
Release the cracks.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. Release the cracks. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Ooh.
8.5 wows out of 10 wows.
Wow.
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 All right, and now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Well, we do our plugs. Jamie, thank you so much for doing the show. What do you have to plug?
I love it.
Where can we find you? Where can we find your stuff?
Yes. Thank you so much. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all of those things at Jay Woodham. It's just JWOODHAM. And you can also find my podcast on Twitter at BOF.
You have a podcast too?
Yeah. It's going to be great.
What's about?
It is great. I think it's like number one in the world right now. I don't know.
Cool.
I don't check those things anymore.
Yeah.
No. It's on Twitter, it's just BOF Podcast. And if you go on iTunes, it's just called Best of Friends. So just search that. You'll find it. There's a picture of me drinking a milkshake. And we just talk about friends, just like you guys all talk about Gilmore Girls. So go ahead and subscribe to that. Check that bad boy out. Nice.
Like from the show.
Oh, yeah, your job's your joke, you're broke, your love life's DOA.
DOA.
Have you talked about on the Best of Friends podcast that the first line of the song is, so no one told you life was going to be this way? Mm-hmm. And then the second verse, he says, your mama told you there'd be days like these. Have you guys unraveled that yet?
No, because you don't hear that part in the theme song. I guess that's in like the actual song version. We'll have to check that out at some point.
That reminds me, my dad's ringtone for years has been the second part of that song, as in the part that is after, like when it
that
cuts
no
out.
One hears.
Exactly.
You only hear if you only hear that if you bought the album.
Exactly. So I'm just like, oh, you really like that song? I was like, yeah. And I'm like, from Friends, and he's like, no, I just like the song. And I'm like, you're the only person who's heard.
But they invented that band just to do that.
You're still in bed at 7 when work began at 8.
Yeah.
No clap.
No clap?
Also, I don't think the clap is in the official song.
Oh.
It's for Friends.
You know, they were just spitballing on the set. Yeah. That's what they did.
That was like the Billboard number one song for like 18 weeks or something.
Really? Rolly.
Yeah, he was insane.
Rolly.
Wow.
You can find me at Kevin T. Port on Instagram and Twitter and all the places.
You can find me at the club, Bottles Full of Bub. Mama, I got that X if you're into taking drugs. I'm into having sex, and I'm not into giving hugs. So come give me a hug if you're into getting drunk. Nice. Electro Lemon.
Electro Lemon.
That was cool.
There we go. And you can find the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter and on Instagram, facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow. And email us, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com for our Gilmail Guys episodes, or a.k.a.
Email-y Gilmail.
Gilmail?
Gilmail.
And when does this episode come out?
This episode will come out next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday.
Actually, today.
This episode comes out today.
Oh, nice. We're doing a live one again. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will we have appeared on your show by then?
Yes.
No.
No?
By no, time... you will be coming up soon.
Okay, so... and when is
but
it...
But we will have
when
already...
does it drop?
We drop on Wednesdays, and it'll be like 2 Wednesdays from now.
Okay.
So it might be the same day.
I think it'll be the one after, because we have 2 before yours. So we have 1 this week, another 1, and then yours.
Okay, so yeah, look for us a week from today on Best of Friends Podcast.
I'm so
you guys
confused.
Are going to be on for the season 1 finale roundtable.
I can't wait to find out who killed Laura Palmer. It's going
to
be great.
We're going to get to the bottom of it.
I think it was Chandler.
I think it was Gunther.
I think it was Janice's laugh.
Chandler.
She's so hot.
On the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow
anywhere.
If anywhere you tell me to,
whether it's Yale, Harvard, or another university. Excuse me.
I will follow.
Wow. Anywhere. Wow.
If you need me to be with you,
I will follow. Where you lead.
Wow.
I like that song.